This, yeah, it is on. Cool. I'm in a loud voice anyway, so I can't really tell. I just want to say how thankful I am for the kids. Everything the kids have done so far, it's been great, and I barely helped. Harry wrote his whole prayer. I just asked Chris. I just said, like, hey, here's what my sermon's about. How would you intro it? And he was like, oh, I'd ask people if they've ever had a time where, like, people liked them and then didn't. Like, he came up with that himself. Songs have sounded great. And so, yeah, can we just give a round of applause for our kids so far? Kids' Spot was really good as well. Everything was great. Cool. Well, we've just seen and heard and sung about Jesus' welcome into Jerusalem. We've been walking with Jesus this whole term, and now he has finally entered the big city, Jerusalem. And look at how everyone felt. We've tried to capture that with everything so far. How excited was everyone? How happy was everyone? Jesus has come. Again, the kids' spot was great. All that noise, all that excitement, that's exactly how it would have been. Jesus has come to Jerusalem and everyone is excited. And everyone is recognizing that Jesus is Savior and King. Hosanna, it's this word that means, it's this cry of salvation. It started off in the Old Testament as this word that people would use, saying, crying out to God, saying, save us, save us. But over time, it became not a cry out, but a proclamation. So they're praising Jesus, saying, here is the Savior. Here is the man who is going to save us. They're praising Jesus because he is entering the city and they believe he is the Savior. They're shouting, Hosanna. They recognize that Jesus is the Savior. And they call him the Son of David as he is entering the city. So they believe that he is the King. They believe that Jesus is the descendant of this great King David in the Old Testament. They believe that Jesus is the promised King. And so they're excited. They're happy that Jesus has come. And so they should be. But we know what's coming, don't we? And Jesus knew what was coming too. We know that this same city that is welcoming him so excitedly, so lovingly, so happily today is going to crucify him in less than a week. We know what happens. There's this funny photo I saw online a while ago. That's called a meme for all the old people. Can we get that up? So it's this girl reading a book. She's reading the New Testament. It says, Jesus is so nice. I hope nothing bad happens to him. Oh boy. There you go. So we know what happens to Jesus in less than a week from here. This same city that is so excited is going to cast him out and have him killed. So what changed? What made this dramatic change in their response to Jesus? Well, as Jesus came, it turned out that Jesus was not the Savior and the King that they were expecting. What did they expect? They think about it. The Jews right now, they're under Roman oppression. The city's not really theirs. They're there, but they're under other people's control. And so they thought that Jesus, the King and the Savior, they thought that he would save them from the Romans. They thought he would come with a sword, with an army. He would conquer them and set the Jews free and establish the kingdom and fix all their problems. That's what they thought their Savior would do. He would save them from the Romans, reestablish the rule of the Jews. But that's not quite what they got. They got a king riding in on a donkey. He's a king of peace. In ancient times, kings, during times of peace, they would ride around on a donkey. It was a symbol of peace. And this donkey, which Jesus asked his disciples to fetch, had never been ridden before. And so it's symbolizing peace, right? Jesus has this peaceful and calming presence so that he can ride this donkey that has never been ridden before. He's a king of peace. He was never going to come and conquer the Romans. And he's a king who calls them to change. He's a king who challenges us to live differently. The first thing he does after he walks into the city, we didn't read it, but the first thing he does is clears the temple. He goes to the Jews and he tells them they are doing it wrong. He doesn't go and conquer the Romans. And he tells us to suffer. In our last talk at Anchor, we heard from Mark in the passage where Jesus says, "Take up your cross and follow me." Jesus is a king who calls us to suffer. He did establish the kingdom, but it doesn't look like the way they wanted. That's why they changed their minds. You see, they didn't like the real King Jesus that much. They didn't like the real Jesus as Savior that much. They accept him as Savior as he's entering the city, but they do not accept the Savior on his terms. They want the Savior on their own terms. They're excited for who they think Jesus is, but not who he actually turns out to be. The response to Jesus in Australia is changing. There are less and less people in church. There are more and more people disagreeing with Christian teachings. Israel Folau, he just did another tweet. He's in the news again. He's been banned, all that sort of thing. And sure, I think he could have been a lot wiser in the way he said things. But at the same time, he's only saying orthodox Christian teaching. He only said exactly what Christians have always believed. And yet now that is something to be vilified. People are responding to Jesus by saying that he is outdated, irrelevant, or even dangerous to our society and damaging. Maybe people in your own life, your close friends or your family, are responding badly to Jesus. Maybe they grew up in church, but lately they are pushing him away. But what about your response? What is your response to Jesus? Is it that same excitement? Is it that same desire to follow him? Is it that same desire to endure hard times for his sake? Today, as we approach Easter, it's a great time to think about how we've been responding to Jesus in our own lives. Are we trusting him? Are we battling with sin? Or are we struggling to be excited about church? Or about Bible study? Or about youth group? Are we angry that life still has its problems? Or are we getting too caught up in those problems to remember Jesus? Maybe you can recall a point in your life where you were so deeply in love with Jesus, so thankful, so trusting, so excited to do his work. But now that time seems distant, far away. In the same way that the excitement of the people as Jesus enters Jerusalem fades so quickly. We've all been there. How have you been responding to Jesus in your life lately? Our response to Jesus should be excitement. I was reminded of this today as I was talking to Duncan about the Sharks. It's an analogy that's been in my backlog for a while. I'm going to use it today. So I grew up in the Shire, right? So in 2016, I was living in the Shire. 2016 is the year that the Sharks won the Premiership, so I'm told. Yes. Never happening again. But yes. And I myself was, a little bit excited, because I do support the Sharks, if I were to say I support any of them. But the scenes were crazy in the Shire, right? It was absolutely crazy. The Shire went crazy. People got tattoos of the Sharks logo. I saw grown men cry. I saw several grown men cry. Cronulla was a riot all night. Not the bad Cronulla riots, like a riot in a good way. Everyone was so excited for a sport, right? Like for something that's not actually significant. Like I said, I was happy when we won, but people get excited for that. People cry for that. People feel like their lives have meaning when a team of people that they don't know, but they live near the stadium, wins the premiership. But people don't get excited for Jesus. And so the bad news is that we so easily lose our love and excitement for Jesus. But the good news from this passage is that Jesus is heading to the cross. And in fact, he has already gone to the cross for us. Jesus isn't surprised when a week later they've changed their opinions on him. He's like, guys, you like me so much. What's happened? Jesus, in the very chapter before this, predicts his death. The very chapter before he walks into Jerusalem, he warns his disciples again, I am going to die here. He already knew you would continue to struggle when he died for you. And so if you are dismayed or ashamed of your response to Jesus lately, the very first step is to remember what he has done to forgive you and to accept that forgiveness. Jesus saves and rules on his own terms, not ours. And that's what drives people away from him. But the reality is that his terms are way better. His terms have bought you forgiveness by his blood. It is guaranteed if you trust him. And it's the same for others. The people we love who don't love Jesus, Jesus has gone to the cross for their forgiveness if they trust him. And so if you feel like you've been coasting lately, drifting away from Jesus, not caring much about him, do not walk out of here feeling unforgiven. You are forgiven. And there's more good news, that when Jesus rose from the dead, he sent the Holy Spirit, who is with you and with us now. And he can change your heart. He can change your response to Jesus. Sometimes we get so stuck in a rut, we can't even imagine how we could get out of it. It's like, oh, I feel so far from Jesus right now, I don't even feel I could come back. Right, I open my Bible and I can't even be bothered. I try to pray and my mind just drifts. You have the Holy Spirit. God is changing you. God is changing your heart. God is changing your response to Jesus. So let's pray now that we would respond to Jesus the way we should. The way the people did as Jesus entered Jerusalem, but that we would respond to the real Jesus that way. That we would respond that way to the Jesus who came in peace, who hasn't saved us from all our temporary problems in life. Life still has problems. But he has saved our lives by giving his life for us. He's given us a relationship with God. And though he calls us to change and make sacrifices, he has promised that by his Spirit he will be with us through it all. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus and everything he has done. Lord, we pray that you would renew our love and excitement for you. Lord, we know that that is what you deserve. We pray that the cry of our hearts would be Hosanna, Lord, knowing that you have saved us, that you are worthy of all praise. We pray that we would live our lives for you. And Lord, help us to feel forgiven, because that is what we are. You have given us forgiveness. So Lord, let us not walk out of here feeling guilty, ashamed. Let us walk out of here uplifted, knowing what you have done for us and desiring to live for you, knowing that we will still fail sometimes, but Lord, that you are with us and that you forgive us. And we pray that next week, as Ross preaches on Good Friday and Sunday, Lord, we pray that many people would have the opportunity to hear your word and respond to the real Jesus next week. Amen. We're going to have our final song.
So we've just heard about how God forgives our sins and He has the power to save us from them. And it's not through our own actions or anything that we can do, but like we have to accept that forgiveness and put our trust in Him. So would you please stand and sing with us, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me.
What gift of grace